Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could shine a bright light in my eye when I'm sleeping and go, boo, bitch, gotcha. I would roll over and say, wow, that's my spooky boo. My guest today is an actor, writer, and comedian who you've seen on A Black Lady Sketch Show, Young Sheldon, and has been getting rave reviews, write-ups. People are thrilled with the performance on CBS's Ghosts. It's Danielle Pinnock!
Thank you, Nicole. Thanks for having me. My gosh, I'm so hyped.
Thank you so much for doing it. I was so excited to do this because I have been mistaken for you.
Likewise. It's okay. It's you. It's Natasha Rothwell.
Uh-huh.
Recently, it was Dolce and Sloan.
Yep. I also get Amber Riley and I get Raven Goodwin. Gabourey Sidibe. Someone thought I was Retta, and I was like, okay, I'll take it. She's stunning. She's beautiful, but I feel like we're in a different age range, but you know, it's okay.
That's it. It's all love.
Yeah, it was funny. Somebody was like, I think you're spectacular on Ghosts. Oh. And I did not correct them. I said, thank you so much. I put a lot of work into it and kept it fucking pushing.
I stand. I love it.
I mean, what's the point of correcting anybody anymore? A compliment is a compliment and it makes me so happy.
Well, Nicole, you're a legend in your own right. I gotta give you your flowers first because I've been following you since Loosely Exactly Nicole. And I'm just such a huge fan of your work. Everything you're doing on Grand Crew is unbelievable. And you're such like an inspiring multi-hyphenate. And I'm telling you, like when I first was in Chicago and was thinking about like, okay, can I actually do this? Like you and Natasha, like y'all were my North Star. So like, I just want to get that out first and just say thank you again for having me and just so grateful to be here.
Thank you so much. That is so kind of you. Okay, so you said Chicago. Chicago, mm-hmm. Chicago? Because sometimes people like to say Chicago and then they're from like the north suburbs. And I'm like, No.
We were in Rogers Park.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Chicago, Chicago. I loved it. I was there for 4 years and had the time of my life, literally.
And you were doing Second City there, right?
I was. I actually did. So I was like a theater nerd. And then Second City, I would do these characters where I like interview people on the street and like bring the stories to the stage and stuff. And I'd be in these like bootleg ass like theaters where I was getting paid in pizza and like, cool, yeah, let's do it. Like lifting furniture up three flights of stairs to try to put on a damn play that three people were coming to. And Deanna Griffin Irons, the Second City, saw me and was like, you should come do these characters here. And I'm like, what's Second City? What is that? I want to be at Steppenwolf. I want to be at the Goodman. And yeah, I did their Bob Curry Fellowship, which was like the one time that they had black people there doing a bunch of things. And
you said it.
But shout out to everybody that was there with me. Lisa Beasley, Dwayne Perkins, like so many, like Asia Bullock, like so many incredible comedians. Yeah. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to have done that.
I love that so much. I love that, like, my favorite stories are the ones where people are like, oh, I was just doing some shit. And then somebody said, come on over here. And I say, you know what? Why not? I'm here now. I can move. That's fine. And then you're like, oh, this amazing thing happens. And then shit starts blossoming.
It was wild.
So you went to Temple University. And then, ooh, you graduated with honors.
I did.
That's nice. That's nice. When I went to school, I did not go for the learning. I went to make friends. But then you went to the Royal Birmingham Conservatory in the UK.
Yeah, it sounds way more fancier than it actually was. Like my first day of school, I was like, cobblestones. Oh my gosh, I'm about to be like the black Emily in Paris, but in London. And like my first day, there was a knife fight in front of my, because nobody got guns there. It's all like actual swords and shit.
That's oh my God, that is incredible.
Literally, literally. And my mom, she's super Christian. She's like, God loves everybody. We got to stop the fighting. I'm like, sis, if you don't take your Jamaican behind out this fight, like you can't get stabbed on my first day at theater school. Like, let it go. Let it go.
They fucking go hard over there.
They do.
I challenge you to a duel.
No,
and it's
truly.
Like, no, we mean an actual duel with fucking knives and shit. That's so fucking funny. I love that.
Yeah, I don't even know like if I would survive a knife fight, to be honest. It's like, how fast do you run from that? Like, you know, a bullet, you know, it's like boom, done. But like knives, it's like athleticism. You gotta kind of run past it.
I know me as a fat woman, I don't move that fast. One, two, it's a lot of area that you could cover with one swipe. So yeah. I'm not trying to do that.
Dead ass, I'm praying that my Spanx would protect me a little bit.
Oh my God, bending the knife, it's just like the force field around you holding you in. What was it like? So how long were you in the UK, in London, England?
I was there for 1 year. It was an intense 7 days a week program. We had two breaks.
7 days a week?
7 days a week, two breaks. Ooh. But it was like the best time of my life. And like, I was planning on staying there for 3 years afterwards. And then the day of my graduation, the visa laws changed. And they're like, Americans, go back to the States. And I was like, no! But I'm glad that I had the opportunity when I did. I met my husband while I was there, which was so dope. And me and my best friend.
Oh, he's English?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You imported him.
I know. Brought back a souvenir. I was like, you're coming with me.
Oh, my God. I got to do that. I just went on vacation. I was in Mexico. And nobody wanted to be imported. Not one person. But I guess, I don't know. There's a lot of cobblestone over there, too. I was like, y'all don't want me to walk good. It was hard. I was like, what? It's beautiful, but I'm about to fall. And then nobody was, like, interested in fucking me. You know, it's a fun life to live. So wait, tell me how you met your husband.
Yo, like, randomly, so there was this girl that was supposed to go be in our, we were in this, like, real world type classic house. Like, it literally looked like Grey Gardens meets Game of Thrones. And there was this one girl from Tennessee or something. Her visa got denied. So, like, we need to find another roommate mad quick, because I was like, I can't afford this in pounds, y'all. Like, this additional rate is mad expensive. So we went to this, like, barbecue, and I was, like, trying to scout people to come stay in this place. And they started lighting fireworks. I'm deathly afraid of fireworks, Nicole. I don't know why it is. I think it was like watching Michael Jackson in the Pepsi commercial.
Oh, no. You have sparks. Secondhand PTSD from this man burning up his dairy curl.
Still triggered. I'm like, my baby hairs, protect them, please.
Not my baby hairs. No.
I need them. It's the last thing I got left. So this like little red, this like redhead found me and he was like, oh, come inside. Let's chill. And I was like, you want to live in the apartment? You saved my life. Completely forgot I had that conversation, obviously, because Prosecco was involved. Two weeks later, this dude comes down the steps in this cow onesie with udders. I'm eating my little Weetabix, and I'm like, who's that? Are we getting robbed? Like, what's happening? And he's like, no, I'm the guy from the party. Thanks, I just moved in. And I'm like, who? And that's how it is.
So you found a roommate to move in, exchange some sort of monetary amount of money. He moved in and you forgot about it?
Completely forgot. Not a clue.
That's incredible.
Not a clue.
I mean, I have ADHD, but I don't think I've ever forgotten about something that big.
Yo, not a clue. That was literally like, oh, who is this again? Like, I have, when it comes to like white faces, I have no recollection. I'm like, it really does, this the blend in for me. I have no clue. No clue.
So how long did it take for you guys to start dating?
It took a while because I never dated a white person before in my life. So At first I was kind of like, okay, I came to England from my Idris and from my John Boyega. And that, like, that was really my mission. Like, I had just joined OkCupid for the first time. Okay. I was coming out of this, like, really weird situationship. And I was like, I'm going to do it in England. I'm going to have my little whole phase. And I'm about to just be out here living.
Living in these cobblestone streets, dodging knives.
Living.
Trying to catch a dick. Wait, tell me about this situation. Relationship real quick, if you don't mind.
Oh God, utterly chaotic. I have been in so many situationships in my life. Like, I can't count any of them as real relationships. Maybe like one where it's like, because I was always bigger and plus size, it was just like, oh my God, she's so funny. But also I realized my strength in relationships was just listening to men. And I was like, okay, well, if I could just do this in college and just listen, maybe I can get a boyfriend. And I ended up with like the wildest human beings on the planet, Nicole, like wild, like, wild. Like, it will be in a book or a pilot someday. We're gonna manifest it. But like, stories for days. And I was like, I just need a clean slate. I just want my John Boyega and just call it quits. And then my friend was like, I think this guy Jack likes you. And I'm like, the white guy?
The white guy who I met with udders?
Yeah, I was like, that's not really the vibe I'm going through right now. And he came up to me and he's like, I would love to take you on a date. And I was like, this is a joke. Like, I don't like you. You're white.
Wow.
There's no way. Like, so I was like, you know, my mom was like, you know what, Danielle, you're in England. Have fun. And this is going to be something funny. You could tell your kids later. Nicole, we've been together for 10 years.
10 years? Oh, that's so sweet. 10 years.
It's a, I could not believe that this is the person that I ended up getting married to. Like, of all the people in the world. But he's a good dude. I love his family. His family loves mine. Like, we've been here 10 years strong, and like, that's my person.
That's so fucking sweet. Okay, so you didn't like him at first. He clearly was like, I want in. At what point were you like, oh, fuck, this is for me?
You know, I think it was like for so long I'd been listening to other guys and their grievances and becoming like their Ayanla, romantic Ayanla, I call it, because it's
You fixing that romantic life.
Yes. Oh my God, your mom. I can't believe it. Oh my God. You know, and like pretending that I actually care when I'm just like, are we getting hit or not? Okay. But but he was like the first person to like actually listen to me, and I'm like, oh, this is new. Okay. You actually care. Wow.
Yeah. When men remember things I have said, I'm always shocked. I'm like, wait, what? You were listening to little old me, which is insane. It's an insane way to live your life.
No, it is. It is. And I was just like, my God, what's happening? But I mean, he just like literally like what's going on, but like would help me with so many things. And just, I don't know how we ended up together. Like, I'm still, I just don't, like, there were even, like, the wedding, there were so many things that were just against us. Like, the night before we got married, my mom had a stroke, which was insane.
Oh, no.
So I was like, she's perfectly fine. Okay. Perfectly fine, living her best black life, chilling. She's good. But, like, there were so many things that were happening. I'm like, oh, my God. So I actually got married in the hospital.
Oh, my God. Wait, did you, like, move everybody to the hospital? It's like, we're going on a trip. Let's go.
Literally. And my Uncle Carlton, shout out to him, came in his minivan with the little Cheetos crumbles that he swept over so I could have my little white dress in the back. He had the video camera while I'm driving.
Bless Uncle Carlton.
Uncle Carlton for the win. Like, my whole family came. They let everybody in the ICU. The florist came. Girl, like, ooh, it was insane.
That is the before times. Right now, they'd be like, get thee behind the dotted line. You cannot come in here. Wear your masks. That's wild. I love that they let everybody into the ICU. I'm sure someone dying in the bed next door was like, this is not how I want my final moment to be. I have to listen to somebody else's joy. Are you fucking kidding?
That's it.
Oh, literally. God, that's so funny. That is truly fucking wild.
Yeah.
That your mother had a stroke the day before you got married. Honestly, sometimes moms are always trying to make it about themselves. No, I'm absolutely kidding. That's an insane story.
It was wild. And like, I mean, and then like my mom, who was like barely able to speak, was like, oh, you guys are going to Hawaii, and then knocked out. And we were like, what? And I was like, wait, where are the tickets? When? What do we, did she tell anybody else about this? So then we spent like the rest of the day trying to figure out like when we were going on our honeymoon and like who was going. But it ended up being so dope. And the fact that like, our pastor was like, we're still going to do it at the church, too. So, like, we had all these other people that came, and we still did it at the reception. The reception was lit. Everybody was utterly just like, she's alive! Trash! Like, and, like, my whole family's Jamaican, and his Irish and British, and he has some Australians.
So y'all were fucking partying.
It was next level. The receptionist people, they felt so bad. They were like, we'll just keep going for as long as y'all need. And I was like, I don't think we left until, like, 5 a.m. Like, the DJ was like, it was like one of those old, like, Webster Hall.
Damn.
From back in the day. It was dope.
That sounds like a very nice time.
It was dope. It was so fun.
So after 10 years, like, I've been reading a lot about, like, okay, Instagram has been, like, really feeding me stuff about relationships. I think Instagram's like, hey, girl, are you all right? But it's a lot like, you have to choose to love your partner. Love doesn't just come. You don't just have love. So, like, after 10 years, is it hard?
No. I mean, the thing, it really is not. And that's the thing. I'm always reading these things. Like, yes, there will be different difficulties, right? So one of the things I would say is, like, when Jack and I got married, we were in our 20s, like, early 20s. Mm-hmm. So now we're in our 30s, and that's a whole different moment. So, like, we've had to adult together. Mm-hmm. And I think once we reached, like, 30s, we were like, money, what is that? We don't even know. Should we be saving? Like,
should
retirement?
We be saving?
What's going on? Do you have a retirement? Like, there were so many things that happened once that 30 mark came where we were like, okay, we need to, like, adult together, figure this out. Because, like, our parenting money scripts were just from different home. You know, like, my mom's a single mom. I was raised by my grandmother. He had mom and dad. You know what I mean? So, like, it was just very different things. But, yeah, we just... It's dope. Like, I don't know. Like, I think it's just dope. He's so great. And we just be goofing. Like, that's the thing. It's like, he never makes me feel crazy. You know what I mean? This industry is so wild. Like, and he's mad supportive. And, like, I mean, even my body has changed in the relationship. Like, when I first got married to now, he's never made me feel crazy about that or anything like that. I feel like sometimes you got to go for the weird ones, the ones that you really don't be expecting, where you're like, okay, I don't know, maybe, because they might surprise you. You never know. You never know.
What's the one thing he did that you were like, yes, I will spend the rest of my motherfucking life with this motherfucker?
I have to say it's also how, like, he takes care of my mom, because Jamaican mothers are tough. You know what I mean? Just like, Black mamas in general are just like a whole different breed. And like, how he, like, cares for her, looks after her, like, checks in. I was like, okay, yeah, you can get down with family. I like this. I'm here for this, because I'm such a family girl through and through. Like, if you can't get down with my family, it's a wrap. So seeing that was just a really big moment for me. Also, the sex is phenomenal. That was the other shock, too. That was a shock, Nicole. That was a shock for me. That, I'm telling you, that the first time... I was like, oh, this is what's happening overseas. Okay.
Really?
Because I was thinking, like, oh, my God, everybody at CBS is going to cancel this whole episode. Sorry, CBS. And sorry, Maureen. That's his mother. The first day we hooked up, I was like, okay, how is this going? Because, you know, it's, like, cute when you're going on little dates and stuff and kisses. And I'm like, okay, so, like, how do you have sex with a white person? Is it different? Like, what are we going to be doing? Like,
I love that you thought it was going to be different just because he was white. And, like,
I did.
That's so funny. It's like, ooh, is it going to be seasonless? How is this,
like,
going to happen?
Literally, I'm like, what do we need to shower beforehand? Like, I don't know what's happening.
Spit in your face. Don't worry.
Yo, I was so shooketh. And then, like, we had sex and I was like, oh, this is lit. This is lit. This is lit. I was like, okay. And then, like, he's so fucking corny. The, like, the morning after, he was just like, welcome to England. And I was like, shut your dumb ass face up. And I was like, I love him. He's so funny.
That is very funny. To wake up, look at someone that you just fucked, and they went, welcome to England.
I was like, my God, what's this, a backstage pass of fucking, what's my show with Maggie Smith? All that.
Downton Abbey?
Downton Abbey. I was like, what's happening?
Man, that's really, I love that. I also really love that you speak about him with such fucking joy after 10 years. I feel like I've spoken to people who've been in relationships for like 2 months and they're like, well, you know, I love them, but you know, it's just, and it's like, no, you're just like easy breezy. Like, he fucks me good. He's funny as hell. I love him. Like, I want to be at your wedding because I feel like that's what your vows were. You're like, yes.
No, they literally screaming. Literally.
Oh, I love that so much. Real quick, we got to take a break. Zendaya like you've never seen her before. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court. For more than a decade, she has former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist under her spell. It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules. See Challengers now playing only in theaters. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel, the science-based language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Guess what? I love to travel. And honestly, traveling is better when you can speak the local language. So, ordering food, asking for directions, or just saying, me encanta Poppy, I think I said I love you, Daddy. Anyway, people just treat you better when you speak their language. Plus, it's nice not having to consult language apps while on vacation because I'm having fun in the sun. Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get 55% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply. We're back. Okay. So, do you like Shakespeare? Is that something that's real?
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to Shakes.
Did some research, you know, and then you find things and you're like, don't know if it's true, but I'm going to ask. I like Shakespeare in theory, and would read synopsises when I was in school or whatever, and then like really fucking struggle through it. And then someone was like, oh, Shakespeare's meant to be seen, not read. And I was like, oh, fuck. Well, I've been doing it wrong.
Yo, I feel the same. Like, literally, when I first started reading Shakespeare, I would be so confused. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother would try, like, because the British were, you know, colonized Jamaica for so long. Like, mm-hmm. that was everything. Like, Shakespeare was everything for her. So she'd just be in the house reciting stuff. And I'm like, wow, you're really out here reciting Lady Macbeth. That's crazy. And you're really, like, 70 years old, like, hobbling around, doing this. This is wild. And I just never got it. And it wasn't until I was at Temple University. And I got cast in Midsummer Night's Dream mm-hmm. playing Nick Bottom. And they were like, just do it as you. They're like, don't try to put on any voice. Don't try to speak in a British accent. Mm-hmm. Like, what is, like, dissect the language for you. What would this mean to you? And once that happened, it opened up my whole world when it came to the text. Love it.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense. It's never how I've been taught Shakespeare. but I mean, I went to an interesting school called I won't even say it because I don't want them to claim me anymore, but we would do Shakespeare in a way where, like, we would just get coached through it, and it's like, oh, but then I didn't get to make any choices, and also, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just saying these fucking words, and it doesn't make sense.
You would be incredible. Who would you want to play in the canon?
Okay, well, I really love Twelfth Night because I love the movie. She's the man.
Yes! Can we get a reimagining of that? Come on!
I would love it. I think Amanda Bynes has never been better. Channing Tatum is in it. It's just, it's all stars. It's a great, it's one
listening.
Of my favorite movies. What else? I love Othello. Othello's great.
Yes.
Fucking dark as hell.
Dark.
And then The Tempest, I did I didn't do the full length play, but I did scenes from The Tempest.
Yes.
Yeah, those are the ones that I'm like the most familiar with. I did steal the complete works of Shakespeare from Barnes and Noble.
Shout out.
While I was in school. Because I learned if you went to Barnes & Noble and you just walked out with the books, no one would say anything because it's like, oh, maybe she bought them. Maybe she came in with it. Maybe it's Maybelline. Who we don't know.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
So I would just take shit.
I get it. That was me. I mean, that was me at Temple Libraries, like literally just being like, backpack, backpack.
I love those videos. Those videos make me laugh so hard. If you don't know what we're talking about, it's on Instagram. Oh, I should figure out what the person's name is. Oh, I'd have to look so far back on my Instagram, but it's so funny. Backpack, backpack.
Literally, me with the books. Like, okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like I just would take things from Barnes and Noble. And I'm not saying stealing is good, But back in the day, she didn't have no money.
Yeah.
But she needed to be educated, okay?
I get it. Like, the books in school were expensive. Like, we're already paying tuition.
Yes.
Like, give us a break. Give us free food and give us the free books. That's
it.
It
is kind of incredible that you pay, it's a la carte. You get tuition and then you're like, oh, do you want a room? Well, that's a little extra.
Yeah.
Oh, do you want to eat? That's extra too. Like, that's why isn't it a resort? Why don't you have an all-inclusive
right.
package and then the a la carte package?
That's what I'm trying to say, Nicole. It's too much money. It's ghetto.
Right? What if I'm just trying to eat at college? I don't want the credits. They have good tater tots.
Yo, it's crazy. Or they should have like a glamping experience at least that's free. Where it's like,
right?
You don't want to be in the dorm, you could glamp.
You could glamp. That's what you could do. You could live the fuck outside and get your education. I'd be into it. That's a choice. You could save a little bit of money. Also a choice, make college free. Hello,
Period.
America. What's going on? I was in Mexico like last week, this past week, and there were so many like American flags at the airport coming back to the States. And I was like, boy, oh boy, y'all love it. You love America. In a way that I'm like, I like it here too, but like, shit's wrong. They're
yeah.
like, why isn't college free? Why don't we have free healthcare? Why are you advertising a bad country?
Literally. It's ghetto. I mean, it really is. It really is a ghetto moment here. You know, shout out to, you know, certain things that I'm able to...
Yes.
You know, that are accessible to me and the privilege
yes.
that I have. But it's also really ghetto. Like, I just paid off my student loans. It's taken me forever. My mama still has student loans, Nicole. Like, it's
kind of wild.
It's ridiculous. This woman is about to be 60.
That's wild. That's why I said 2 years of school, please. Because 4 is a lot to fucking pay off. I think my sister's still paying off her student loans.
It's wild.
It is.
It's wild. It's wild. For no reason. Healthcare. What's happening?
Yeah. I want free healthcare. I don't want to pay $700 for an ambulance. What's
Never.
Going on?
Never.
Okay. So did you do Body Courage, your one-woman show, out of school, or was that while you were in school?
I did it while I was in school at Birmingham Conservatory in England. And then that was my dissertation. So at the end, they were like, look.
Okay. Real quick, I don't mean to interrupt you, but
yeah.
Who's a dissertation?
So it's basically your final project. Like, it's your finals.
Okay.
It's your finals in your master's program. So
okay.
They were like, finals, y'all gonna come up with a one-person show, whatever you want it to be about. So my background at Temple was in documentary theater. Like, for so long, Nicole, I wanted to be the next Anna Deavere Smith. Like, that was literally my only goal in life, was to just, like, interview people, bring their stories to the stage, make a change. I want to be everywhere, like, and doing that. So I was like, that's what I'm going to do. But I want to focus on body image, because I felt like a lot of times, like, plus-size Black women, especially in theater, it was still, like, maid, slave, Hattie McDaniels number one, Hattie McDaniels number two. So, like, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to interview a bunch of different people and just bring their stories out. So I interviewed my best friend, who was the first plus size actress at a grad school in San Francisco, which was, her experiences were wild. I interviewed a young woman who was Muslim, who had her freckles removed because she was like, I hated my freckles, got plastic surgery, sis. And she was from Birmingham. And a pageant queen, Miss California, USA, from way back in the day.
So,
and I just like performed as them, did my little doo-dop. And somebody from New York was like, yo, somebody just forwarded me this tape. You should do this festival. So I did this little strawberry theater festival in New York. And my family was like, yo, this is actually really good. So I'm like, I'm going to Chicago. I'm going to bring it to the Chicago stages. And that show was my life for 6 years.
Like, 6 years.
Literally 6 years interviewing people. Because, like, once the word got out, people were like, I want to tell you my story. So then it was, like, me interviewing the little girl, the South Side of Chicago girl who got bullied. You know what I mean? Then it was, like, me going to Northern Ireland to interview a man who had early onset Parkinson's. Then going to India to interview a man who was about to be at the Olympics but was taking steroids and then couldn't do it. So, like, there were just so many people that were, like, reaching out. And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, I had a blog. Like, that was my whole universe.
So were you updating the play? Yes, the show?
I was updating the play.
Oh, shit. So it was like, come see it before it fucking changes.
Literally. And the final production in Chicago was the first time that I had my personal story in there. So then I shared like what it was like growing up with my mom and my grandmother being first generation Jamaican American. When I was like up till I was 8, I was wheelchair bound, which a lot of people don't know. I had a disease called dermatomyositis, which my husband calls dramatic Miley Cyrus.
That's very fucking funny because I was like, Dramata Hoota Who?
Exactly.
Wait, I have never heard of this and I don't mean to like make you explain it if you've explained it ad nauseum, but what is this?
It is a sister disease to MS. So it's an autoimmune disease. And like literally one day I was just walking and the next day couldn't walk anymore. And all my my muscle functions from like the like boobs down just cut out. And then like I was just on steroids for years and like physical therapy and all this. It's wild how it happened, but all good now and chilling.
And how does it get reversed, I guess? Like how does one overcome
steroids?
It's just steroids?
Yes, which was like as a kid, I went from like 50 pounds to like 160 pounds.
You were bulking the fuck up. You were like, I gotta stand.
As an 8-year-old. And then that's when all the kind of like chubby dramas of like school came in. Because when I came back to school, people were like, who the fuck is that?
Damn. What's going on with
her? Yeah. So I talk about that in the show and stuff. Yeah.
When kids make fun of other kids, it only really occurred to me as an adult. I'm like, oh my God. That kid is going through something. That's why they're like that.
Literally. Mental illness. That's what it is.
It's like, what is when you make fun of somebody different, it's like, oh, they might be different because their home life is different. Or like they have like a learning, like they learn differently. Like why make fun of that kid? Just be like, oh, that kid's different. I guess I'll leave them alone. I don't know.
Exactly.
But that is wild. Like you're like, I'm on steroids. Can you not call me chubby, please?
Let me just live my little Oshbagosh life. Like, let me just chill. Like, and then it was just earth because like all these kids, they were like in their little Juicy Couture, and I was like in Burlington Coat Factory and like the Limited and looking like Maxine Waters and Steve Harvey's love child. Like, why was I in school in a 3-piece suit? Like, I looked crazy.
Yeah, I remember going to the Limited too, being like, oh, okay, we'd have to sew some things together. And then going to the Limited and being like, ah, this is where I belong. And it's like, oh, but it's a little adult.
literally. Kids in Jersey are rude. That's it. They're just rude. That's it.
Where in Jersey did you grow up? I also grew up in Jersey.
Yes. So I was in North Jersey, an area called Teaneck, New Jersey. So it's like Bergen County, right next to
New York.
Literally right next to George Washington Bridge.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I grew up in like Central Jersey. I think you would probably say South Jersey. It was like Middletown. It's like where the Jersey Shore starts.
Yeah.
Did y'all have Joyce Leslie up there?
Yes.
I fucking love Joyce Leslie, and nobody but people on the East Coast know what Joyce Leslie is.
I'm dead at the fact that you just brought like a whole thing of memories. Oh my God, Joyce Leslie. Did y'all have Dots? I don't know if Dots was a thing.
Yes, we had that. I was trying to think of what Dots was. Because I was like, we had Joyce Leslie, Fashion Bug, and then Rainbow, and then Dots.
Joyce Leslie was the moment though.
Ugh.
Joyce Leslie, I would get all my club clothes from Joyce Leslie.
Yes, because it was made with spandex, because it was we will go up to a large, but we will accommodate someone slightly bigger than that.
That's it. Oh my gosh, Joyce. Shout out to Joyce.
Yellow Joyce Leslie with a red heart. I worked there for a little bit.
Oh my God.
And big women would come in with their daughters and they'd be like, where are your plus section at? I'd be like, oh, we don't have one. They're like, then why do you work here? And I'd be like, wow. I guess I'm having a crisis. I don't know. I need the money. I thought I could work anywhere. I'm sorry.
Oh my God. I love Joyce. Oh my God. Yo, because when I was a teenager, that's when I started like acting out because my dad had passed away when I was 16. So I was just like, F everybody. So I would like sneak into the clubs in New York with my crazy best friend at the time. And we would be in Joyce Leslie and Rainbow concocting the fashions literally to get into the clubs. Oh, my God. That was a memory, Nicole.
Jersey. I love that you were sneaking into clubs. My mom died when I was 16, and I was sneaking to New York to go see Broadway plays. We are different, rebellious youth. You were like, I'm cool. And I was like, let me get my fill of musical theater.
No, but I would have much preferred that. I think also I was like super like, I was one of those kids. I was like, we're friends. So whatever my friends do, I'm going to do it. I'm like, y'all don't really feel safe, but I guess we're friends though. Where are we? I would have much preferred Les Mis.
I mean, I saw Les Mis so many times. I saw Phantom of the Opera so many times. I would like forge permission slips and make my dad sign them. And he was just like, I mean, whatever. I guess if you have to go see another play, it's part of the curriculum.
I love it. I love it. Les Mis is good. Les Mis is good. The music, it's like hits.
It really does. On my own, pretending he's beside me. You feel it.
When my boo drags that man on God on high, God, then when he's like, God on high. Yo, it takes me out. I want to see all black cast of Les Mis.
Ooh, wait. That would be so incredible.
And let them just be Haitian. Because that's the part. That's the thing. Yes. Because it's like, let them be Haitian. Like, let's really be like...
Because people be like, it's about the French Revolution. It's like, well, Haitian people, they're exactly. French. They speak French.
Period. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Real quick, we have to take another break. Wonder how much your personal data is out there? Your name, contact info, social security number, and home address? Even information about your family members. All being compiled by data brokers and sold to the highest bidder online, leading to identity theft, phishing attempts, harassment, and unwanted spam calls. Ring-a-ling. You can protect your privacy with Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal info from the largest people search databases on the web. Sign up and provide Delete Me with exact information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. Delete Me isn't just a one-time service. Receive regular personalized privacy reports showing what they found, where they found it, and what they removed. Imagine this. You go on a few dates with someone from a dating app and things don't click. You move on, but they don't. They start showing up at places you frequent, sending messages, and it becomes clear they found your personal information online. That's scary, right? I think so. Knowing my data isn't as exposed makes me feel a lot safer. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/date me and use the promo code date me at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/date me and enter the code date me at checkout. JOINDELETME.com/date me. Wow! Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. So, like, being big growing up, did you date in high school at all?
No. My dating life in high school was non-existent. I had intense crushes.
The way you looked at me as if I was the dumbest woman in California.
No. I had intense. First of all, I grew up, my family was so Christian. Like, I was in church from Fridays through Sundays because my grandmother was Seventh-day Adventist, which is like Christianity with a Jewish twist. So, like, Sabbath on Saturdays, like vegetarian. And my mom was like, I'm Pentecostal. So, like, we would be in church all weekend. And then I remember, like, when we had the God, our high school, our middle schools were like, you guys gotta have, parents have to have the sex talk with the kids. You know, this is now the stage. And my grandma was talking about, if you get, she was like, if you get pregnant, I'm gonna call a taxi to drive you out to a dark wood and we won't find you. And I was like,
oh,
is that really the talk? Like, so I was terrified. I was terrified of everything as a kid. I had intense crushes. I had the best mixed CDs that I would like send to my crushes. I'd be like, oh my God, listen to this. Has a little Usher, has a little Aaliyah. And I would be writing in my diary. My best relationship was with my diary. Literally.
I have never identified with something more. I also did not date, not nary one time in high school, but I did love, like, not love. I mean, I was a child, but I did have, like, intense crushes.
Intense.
And I'd be like, hey, I think you're cute. And they'd be like, okay. And I'd be like, oh, no. Literally. I die now?
Literally. And doing, like, the most random things. Like, I remember my first party that had like drinking and weed and stuff, and I was like, yes, I'm here, I've arrived. I was like, I've arrived. And I remember this guy that exclusively wore Birkenstocks, like this black guy, like in my school. And he was like, yeah, you know, I'm trying to be on my Kanye. And I'm like, in love, obsessed. You're different.
Your toes are out.
Exactly. And I remember him being like, oh, have you drank vodka before? And I'm like, yeah, obviously. Nicole, why did I take that bottle? Thinking, I was like, well, this looks like water. Down the thing and then sprayed across the room.
Oh, no.
And he
no.
was like, oh, you're so weird. And I'm like, I'm not weird. It's just a different flavor.
I once in high school, after one of our theater performances, was at an after party where I drank like half a bottle of vanilla absolute. I cannot drink it to this day.
Oh,
I drank like half a bottle and I think I passed out on like face down on someone's floor. It was bad.
Had to.
I was like, yes, I've drank before. And I think I may have had like a cocktail or like a fucking jungle juice. But boy, oh boy, was it disgusting.
Honestly, I was in theater heavy in high school. Like I was Captain Hook and Peter Pan. Like I did Reno Sweeney and Anything Goes. I was like, I want to play these roles. Mm-hmm. And the cast parties were everything. Like, I just was like, this is where I'm like, I want to be the next Elaine Stritch. Like, this is where I thrive. I was so comfortable. Like, I felt so bougie and so cute. And I'm like, yeah, I'll have a little Malibu. Yeah, let's do it. You know what I mean?
Like, I love it. The techies come with their all black and they're like, you did a good job. And you're like, okay. Okay,
well, I have
go
like
back
Ben
backstage.
Nye, like layers of Ben Nye foundation. I'm like, thanks.
Oh my God. My favorite were the play. They did Arsenic and Old Lace at my school. I wasn't in that production. I think that was my freshman year before I was like, I love the theater. And everyone did like old person makeup in a way that I was like, oh shit. And they were like, it's for the back row. And I was like, that's not for any row. Like, you know, thinking back on it, it's like, I don't know who that fuck that was for. That was bad. That was not good.
God, I'm dead. It's like, where are these theater kids now? You know what I mean? It's like, I hope they're still in the craft, but
because there were superlatives at my high school. There was Broadway Bound, and I did not win it. But I will say,
I can't believe
I'm still petty about this. Like, I'm doing fine. And I'm like, the one thing, if I could go back in time, was like really campaign for Broadway Bound.
I'm still pissed that they ruined my senior year quote in my yearbook. Like, it was like a Jay-Z quote because I was obsessed and still am to this day. Not so much after Lemonade, but at the time, obsessed. And they had typos and I'm still like, can we get a reprint?
What was the quote? Oh, I can't wait. The giggle.
It's
the tee-hee-hee leading in.
And it's so dumb. The quote is, only God could judge me, so I'm gone. Either love me or leave me alone.
Yup.
Senior year, I had to go out with a Jay-Z bang. I love it. They messed the whole thing up.
I don't know if I had a senior quote. By the end of high school, I was like, I'm done. You have kept me for 4 years, which is 3 years past. I think I should have been here. I'm not attending school anymore. Also, let me graduate. And they were like, okay, that's where the divide happens. You got to come if you want to graduate. And I was like, I think we got a problem here. But I did get out. I did get out. I'm very happy about that.
And you have done extraordinarily well. Like, has the high school reached out to you to be like, can you do?
No. No, they have not. Which is like really depressing for me. Actually, no, I never thought about it one time till you were like, did they reach out? And I was like, oh, they would reach out? That's a thing? No, but it's okay. I'm not trying to go back to Jersey anytime soon. I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast. I did go back to Jersey recently because I had a storage unit from when I moved from New York and got to the storage unit with a friend and did I tell this story?
Is it about the lock that you accidentally?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you have.
Okay, never mind. You gotta cut all this, Mars. Or leave it. I don't fucking care. I don't know. I didn't bring a key. Had to cut off the lock of someone else's storage unit, and hilarity ensues.
Oh my God. When I tell you, I had a storage unit situation in Jersey. They stole all our stuff. Like, my mom had our big house that she had in Jersey and moved to LA so she could be closer to us. And all of our stuff is gone. Like, everything from the house, like, furniture gone.
What boxes. Company was like, this? Shout them out.
I don't even... No, I literally, I have no... It was like a mom and pop shop that got bought in the pandemic by this bigger company, and they just, like, swiped everybody's stuff.
Wow, that's fucked up. That sucks. I'm so sorry that happened.
I was so mad. I was like, really? I was like, I have some good journals in here I want to look back on.
Oh my God. What if there's just like a fat black girl right now reading your journals being like, I've never felt more seen.
It's literally about to be the next Shonda Rhimes. Like literally, Danielle's Diaries. I'm about to be like, wait, Netflix? What's happening?
Danielle's Diaries. That's so funny.
That happened to me. Wait a minute. What's going on?
When did you move to LA?
In 2016.
Fresh.
In the fall of 2016, I was like, if I was going to come, first of all, I never thought I would be in LA in 1,000 years. Like, I was a theater girl through and through and just still was on my end of DeVere Smith. Like, I just want to be doing HBO special where I'm in the theater with a group of people with the craft. Like, that's like the biggest goal of my, like, honestly, the biggest goal of my life. And she did this workshop in San Francisco where she selected like 15 actors to work with. And she was like, I think you need to do TV. And I'm like, whatever you say, I will do. I was like, I worship you. So my agent in Chicago was like, yo, let's just start getting you some TV auditions. But I was terrified, Nicole, because I'm like, yo, I'm bigger and on stage. You know, it's like you can be big on stage, but it's different. But now I'm like,
it's different when a camera is close to you and they go, you know, the camera adds 15 pounds. You're like, I don't need that.
And then I'm like, how do I sit? Like, what's going on? Like, what's going on? So I was like, okay, well, let me just try and let me do an audition. And like my third TV audition, it was for some like Whitney Cummings pilot that ended up not getting picked up, but they flew me from Chicago.
Oh, it was for Amazon,
something.
Right?
Something. It was like, no, it was HBO. It was HBO.
Oh, okay.
And the role was written for a person that was like on YouTube at the time. And I remember coming out of my screen test and being like, wait, you're the person they wrote this for. You weren't at the original audition. LA, what's happening? And then she booked it. And I'll never forget, I was in Casa Barton in Santa Monica, like bawling over tacos, like, I'll never act again. And then my manager was like, yo, there's this play happening at Geffen. Why don't you like go audition while you're still there just to see what happened?
Wait, just to rewind. So one of your first TV auditions, you got to test?
I did.
I love that you, like, skipped over that part.
I did. I was- was like,
what a beautiful story. Gotta say, your friend, it took her years to get to a testing room. Years.
Friend, I can't even.
Years.
Like, when I tell you, I was just like, okay, maybe it's like the years of just not getting paid. Because, like, the theater, like, I was in theater, I felt like, for a little too long. Like, I feel like everybody kind of, like, a couple years in, dipped, went to L.A., went to New York. And I was just still in the same theaters with Lanisa, my co-creator of Hashtag Book, like, we were just in it still together, and we were like, should we move? Like, we're the last people here.
Yeah, but then you were ready. Like, I mean, that's, there is no clearer sign than, like, being flown out to listeners, if you don't know what testing is, the acting world is very hard and convoluted. So you drive to Santa Monica at 3 p.m. in rush hour traffic. You spend an hour and a half in your car, really, really worried. You go to the audition. The person auditioning you goes, great. And you're like, that wasn't great. You hated it. Then you get a phone call and they're like, we want you to come back to a callback. You drive back to Santa Monica, probably like the next day, and you have to wear the same thing. That's what they tell you. And you're still in rush hour traffic. This time it takes you 3 hours to get there. That's same thing again. They go, all right, that was good. And you're like, it wasn't. And then they go, we want you to test. So then you have to go to a studio lot where you, if you don't arrive at least an hour early, you will be late, because then you got to get your credentials and they don't have your name right at the gate. And then they make you park 6 miles away from the room. And then it is just somebody's office with a backdrop. And then the network people are sitting there staring at you going, we don't know if we want you because we have six other people who look just like you. Or you're the black out of the quirkies.
Yeah, that's it.
Because
that's it.
Sometimes they go white and quirky or fat and black. So you go, oh, okay. They are leaning towards quirky. I'm the only black here. So the likelihood of me getting it is pretty slim.
Oh, Nicole, that's it. That's it. A read. That's
because it. Because when you're playing the best friend of a nice white lady looking for love and you don't have a life and you're saying, just go for it, Cindy. You know he loves you. You can only be Asian, a white quirky, a fat black. And now we've got some South Asian representation.
Yes.
But that's about it.
No. In real time. And I'm still waiting for, like, you know, that's why I love your character so much on Grand Crew, because it's like, she's like romantic. It's not no shit. Like, it's never anything about any. I'm like, finally, like, actual representation. Like, we're just
Thank
chill
you.
And she's funny. And like, I was like, yes, we need this. You know what I mean? Like, we need this. We need it.
I've been very lucky in my career to actually, I don't think I've ever had to play a part where I was like, oh, boo-hoo, I'm fat. Or this man doesn't like me because I'm a fat. And I'm like, there are so many fat women with kids, which means I got fucked. there's, you know, without kids who are getting fucked. Like, it's just, it's such a wild thing. And I've gone on so many auditions where fat is the joke. And I'm like, yikes.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. We can't be any more creative when we come to this person.
Every time.
So, yeah.
Every time. You're exactly right. That's it. I mean, my best friend, we have a page called Hashtag Book, which is on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And like, when we first came to LA, we were like, wow, this is like the acting Olympics out here. Wow. It's a lot going on. Cause you know, here we're like going in for Chekhov, Three Sisters. And we're like, that's a lot, which it is. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, okay, wait, everybody looks like me. And like all the fat people that I thought were fat actually aren't fat. And you know what I mean? I was like, but I'm like really fat for real. Like, I have so many friends that are like, yeah, girl, I'm curvy. I'm plus size. I'm like, no, bitch, I'm fat. In real time, on camera and off camera.
And off camera.
Off camera, like rolls, chichos, everything. You know what I'm saying? So like, it's hard for me when I would be in like these like different, like all these different kinds of fat people. But like, it just was, yo, LA was a mind fuck when I first got here, without question.
It's a fucking trip when you get out here. Like, because you're right. It is like different fat. Like, you got the round face fats where they're lollipops, where their bodies are thin. The face is round, so it's trickery.
Yes.
So they've tricked you into thinking this person's fat. And then you have slim thick, where it's like, I guess on camera you look a little heavier, but like in person,
really.
You can shop anywhere.
Anywhere.
And then you got like fat fats, and then you have like the super super fats where you're like, well, that you're making a point with that casting.
Yes.
And then like it's
yeah,
it's wild. And then there was a like, I'm late to everything. There was like a solid month where I was late to everything, and I would get there at the Asian time, so I'd look around and be like, oh shit, am I at the right audition? And then I'd look and see some black actors that I knew,
yeah, trickling
who were bigger,
in.
Be like, oh, okay, I'm just late. Whoopsie daisy.
I girl, when I tell you, I hate the auditioning process. Like, it gives me so much anxiety just being in the mm-hmm. waiting room, looking around. Like, I just can't do it. So, like, being able to audition for Ghost on Zoom in the middle of the pandemic for me was like the best case scenario, because mm-hmm. I could be in my pajama bottoms and my little fur coat and be like, hello, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. like really feel like I could run that room and say, did y'all really get the take? Because I'm comfortable in my own house. You know what I'm saying? Like, uh-huh. My husband is literally in the kitchen right here. I'm auditioning. He's making a sandwich during my audition. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, great.
What? That's fucking adorable. Good job. You're doing
and
it.
And I'm like, please.
You get to do, like, your character is so, like, I don't want to say broad. It's, like, big. It's, like, big, and it's, like, campy, and it's fun. So, like, what was the journey to that? Was that just, like, everything you brought, and they were like, that, exactly that? Or was it, like, we want you to go a little bit bigger, or did they bring you down? Like, I'm just curious, because you're really great.
No, absolutely. It's been such a, first of all, it's been such a joy being on this show, because I get to work with the best of the best. Like, Brandon Scott Jones is
one of my favorite fucking people.
In the planet Earth.
So funny and kind.
So kind, and, like, Richie Moriarty, Sheila Carrasco, like, the whole cast is utterly mm-hmm. incredible. So being able to play with everyone is fantastic. When I was first auditioning for the character on Zoom, I was like, I'm just gonna play this like my aunties, because I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. 1920s, okay, cool. So this woman is a diva, but she thinks that, you know, in her mind, she may have been a diva, but at that point, I didn't know much information. So I'm just going to go with the fact that she really believes it, even if she may not have been. So she's just going to order everybody around and just command the space when she comes in. And I think that's what resonated with them. Also, I improvise maybe like every single line of that.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I was on script. And I was like, can I improvise? Like, I did one take clean, and they were like, oh, let's try it again. I was like, can I just improvise the script? How y'all feel about that? Yeah. Making shit up.
Because that could go one of two ways. It could go, oh, okay, we loved it. Or you go, we do that again, and you stick to the script, and you're like, ah, yes, all right.
Exactly. But it worked, you know what I mean? I'm just like, I can't believe that I booked a job in the middle of a global pandemic on Zoom. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's the thing that blew mine. And then, like, I had to learn how to sing and possibly learn the Charleston.
So you weren't a singer? You're not
no.
a singer?
No, I'm not. I'm not a singer. Huh. I'm not a singer at all. Like, I was doing little high school plays, but, like, that was really the extent of any singing. So, like, I got into voice lessons and started dance lessons and, like, really tried to immerse myself in the culture. And I'm like, I want to be this woman through and through. But also, even with the writers, when they were writing, like, the big Alberta's fan episode, mm-hmm. I was like, this is really a chance to, as weird and quirky as this episode is, like, this is a chance for y'all to really dig into, like, these hidden figures in Black history
yes.
that we really don't know about at all mm-hmm. because we didn't have the internet and we just didn't know. So I'm like, we could really get really specific so then when season 2 comes along, we can do, like, a really beautiful flashback. And they were just open mm-hmm. to everything. So I'm so grateful for, like, Joe Porter and Joe Wiseman, who are the showrunners and writers of the show, because, like, they were just open to any and all suggestions. And they let us improvise all the time.
That sounds like the nicest, like, most collaborative environment. Like, that's what you dream of.
Yeah, it's unreal. Like, we all like each other for real. You know what I mean? And that's not usually necessarily the case. It's usually sometimes one bad apple where you're like, mm-hmm. But, like, everybody across the board is, like, the sweetest humans in the world, and so kind, so giving. And even on the long days, we're always finding ways to make each other laugh. And, like, the improvs are just gold. And a lot of sometimes they do make it in the takes, which is so great to see on screen because like we don't know what they're gonna go with. So it's fun.
It is funny when you finally get to see the episode and you're like, okay, I did a really wild take. I wonder if that's what they picked. And you're like, ah, no, they didn't. They went with the...
Or you'd be like, oh, damn, the whole scene's gone. That's the part that would be like, where's the scene? What happened? What's going on?
I cannot remember. I did a guest star on The Unicorn and... I think maybe it was the word adios. I don't know. I said this word the wildest way possible because midway through I was like, I improvised it. Midway through I was like, wait, what are you trying to say? And it just came out so strangely. And then I watched the episode and I was like, that's what they picked? But it made me laugh really hard. I was like, it is funny. And it does seem like a choice, but I was like, no, that's my brain betraying me.
Oh my God, I love it. I love it. And shout out to The Unicorn. That show was good.
It was good. And I loved I recorded the first season. Second season, she only guest starred. But I loved it. It was just like, it was another fun set to be on.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm all about like, let's have fun at work.
Yes. Well, listen, I'm manifesting that you can come over right on to Ghost and you could be right on there with it. We could play siblings for real in the 1920s. Can you imagine?
A pitch. Love it. Pitch it. Pitch it to them.
I'm ready.
I want to come over. Let me back on CBS.
I'm ready.
And you guys got picked up for season two, right?
We did. We get started in June, which we're so hyped about.
And then you shot in Canada?
Montreal. We sure did.
Yes. Oh, that's French Canada. yes, Montreal, Quebec.
That's it.
Bonjour.
That's it. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir. Wait, how long were you guys in Montreal? Like 3 months?
7 months.
Seven?
Mm-hmm. Because we were supposed to be there from July until October, and then we got picked up for a back five. And then we were there, and then... we had to shut down in December, and then we came back in January to finish out the rest of the episodes. But yeah, it was a long go. We saw all the seasons. It was like summer, fall. Wow, did I pack for this? But Montreal is absolutely stunning, and I mean the landscape of that city is unreal, and the food, my God,
the food is good,
unreal.
I went to Montreal one time and I could not find the good food. I was like, where is she? And it was like, not where you are.
No, because there's a huge Caribbean community there. So I was like eating Haitian food and Jamaican food and like everything.
I never found them.
When you come, when we play siblings.
I love it. Fucking manifest it. I would love to. I would love to work with you. I think you're so talented and so funny and so great.
Friend, I appreciate that. I feel the same. It's mutual.
Oh, thank you. Hashtag booked. When did you guys start that?
We started hashtag booked in 20... What year are we in now? Oh, God. Everything's going to get... 2018?
Oh, okay.
Was when we started that. And it was really just us exploring, can we be on social media? I think the other thing was like, I was so tired of going into auditions and people being like, oh, wow, you went to grad school. Do you have a social media following? And I'm like, what else do I need?
That was like a weird moment in time where they would ask, like, how many followers do you have? And I'm like, what does it fucking matter? Did I read the words good?
Literally.
Like, do you think I could hit a mark?
I was like, what more do y'all need? Like, the training is there. Let me just play the tactics and call it quits. So my friend and I, we were just like, you know what? Let's just, like, talk about weird stuff that happens in audition waiting rooms. And that's, like, how we started. Was, like, was it being the black handmaid going in for that and like random stuff. And it started developing this little cult following, which was so cool. And I would be on set for Young Sheldon and like people be like, that's the girl from hashtag books. And Young Sheldon people be like, what's that? So it's just been great. It's been amazing running that page. We're developing it into a television series right now, which is awesome. We're writing doing a little stuff.
Congrats. You love to hear about success.
Yeah. So we're really excited to just like keep going. We get our little pitch ready and doing all that stuff. So, but Lanisa Frederick, who I co-created with, is my best friend. Mm-hmm. And we came up from Chicago together, and she is just one of the most incredibly talented humans and like the best person to improvise with on the planet.
I love it. It sounds like my Sashir Or she, Lenny says, your Sashir to my Sashir. I don't know how the fuck I'm trying to say, but you get it.
Yeah.
You get it.
Absolutely. That's it. That's it. That's it.
Well, Danielle, thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate it. Do you have anything that you want to promote?
Listen, we're back at Ghost on Thursday nights at 9 on CBS. So y'all come watch the show. It is going to be fabulous. The rest of this season is chaotic and so funny. And follow me on social media at Body Courage and at hashtag booked.
I love it. Okay. If you liked this episode of Oh, Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, you can rate it, you can review, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And if you write me something dirty, you can write it to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com. I will read it aloud. This person says, hey, Nicole, I want to eat you out so long that I get lost in the caverns of your pussy. How big do you think my pussy is? And I have to find...
Wow.
You said, wow!
The caverns. Come on. I see a little hiking sponsorship, right? Come on, Reed.
I mean, come on. Let me get some hookahs. I think those are hiking sneakers. I don't know. And I have to find my way out by following a trail of dried up little cummies. How awful. As I emerge... As I emerge from the depths of your half-shaven lips, I'll feed you each dry droplet of cum like it's a goddamn raisin. I don't want to eat my own cum. That's disgusting. Yummy, yum, 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 yum.
Shout out to that person. Give them an HBO overall stat.
I mean, this was from Griffin. So thank you, Griffin. That was nasty, and I loved it. Well, until next time, bye-bye.
Bye.
That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, oh, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Okay, so your social battery right now, is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Like, what's going on? And like, why is it at these levels? Maybe it's not enough boundaries. Maybe you're less social, at this time of the year. And it's easy to ignore these things and spreading ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings and stuff. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's important because finding a therapist is a little bit like dating. You're not going to click with everybody. So if you don't think they're for you, don't give up. Just try again. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dateme today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/dateme.